So we have talked about God's glory before in a message. And I'm going to test your memory for a little bit. And don't you just love this? It's pop quiz. How many of you graduates fear that word, you know? Well, it still happens in college, so get used to that. Pop quiz. How many of you remember how I define glory? Anybody remember that? Nobody? Well, that's good. Okay, so I'll say it again. Glory is heaven breaking through into our lives. Okay, remember that. Glory is heaven breaking through in our lives. And we've talked about that before and how God does that. He allows these glimpses of glory to come into our lives, to strengthen us, to fill us, to wrap his arms around us, to communicate his love to us, to show us what we mean to him. And of course, also so that others may see that glory and know how good and wonderful he is too. So glory is a very powerful tool that God uses in our lives. And so often today, because that glory is God's story, because that glory is God at work in his world and in his kingdom and through his kingdom, Satan likes to take that glory away. And sometimes that glory of God is taken away in the fact that we so often still struggle with in our world this concept of good works. Or the concept of having to choose to believe in God. In all of those ways, this takes away God's glory because God is the actor. He wants to be the actor. It's not about us. And of course, there are more perverse ways that God's glory is taken away. And to me, one of those ways that I cringe about are these TV evangelists, and especially those TV healers, as they go around and they knock people in the head and they fall over. And I was going to do that as a demonstration today, but Gary didn't want to do that. He said his paycheck isn't big enough. So I thought, well, we won't do it. But you understand what I mean, how God's glory can be destroyed and Satan will use it for his purposes, taking away the very impact of the message of Jesus Christ in our world. So this is a very important thing for us to talk about today. However, when God's glory is revealed, when God is the actor, it always points back to him and leads to the salvation of many souls. Now let me say that again. When God's glory is revealed, when he is the actor, it always points back to him and leads to the salvation of many souls. In our lessons for today, we see three different accounts, but in all three of these accounts, the one thing that weaves throughout them is the use of God and his glory, and how beautiful that really is. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Elijah goes in and he's staying with a lady and her son dies, and she is very distraught, and she asks, why has God brought punishment through you on my house? And you know the story, and Elijah goes in and he takes the boy up to the bedroom, and he three times goes over the boy's body and says a prayer. Now, what's interesting is there's something in that story right there, this account, that points us to Jesus. And that's what we call the sign of Jonah. And how long was Jonah in the belly of the whale? How many? 3 days, right? And so what does that remind us of? What's the sign of Jonah? What does it point us to? The death and the resurrection of Christ, right? So there's key in this. How many times did Elijah go over the boy's body in prayer? So what do you think Jesus is preparing his people for in the future? His death and resurrection. So right there, we see Jesus proclaiming the glory of God and the power of God and the resurrection of this little boy who was raised back to life and restored. Of course, in our gospel message today, the same thing happens. There is Jesus himself and this widow, and she's mourning the loss of her son, her only son, and Jesus has compassion on her, and he goes in up to the bier, and he places his hand on it, and just like that, he says, get up, and what happens? He gets up, right? This is Jesus himself doing the work. Now, it's a little different when we look at the epistle lesson today, but still there in the epistle lesson, we see the dead being raised. Follow me on that for a second, okay? Here is St. Paul, and he's telling us his story. He's giving us a testimony of who he was, and he paints this picture. Listen, I was a devout Jew. I was the leader of many Jews. I was advancing in my religion, and I loved killing Christians. It was my hobby. It was like a sporting event. Who needed to shoot clay pigeons? I just go out and kill Christians, you know? That's the kind of guy was. And then he talks about God's glory being revealed to him. Jesus himself came to him, and what happened? He became a believer in Christ. He was raised from death into newness of life. And so the power of the gospel was evident in St. Paul. And so as we look at these stories today, we see glory, God's glory at work, God revealing himself, sharing life and eternity in three of these separate stories, but they all are pointing to the same thing. The work of our God, the work of our Savior, the work of coming from death to life. You see, the power that's acting in each one of these accounts, the power that is alive and that's operating in each one of these stories, the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel, is the Word of God. In all three of these cases, what brought these people to life was God's Word interacting in their life. And if we truly believe what we confess as Lutherans and what John chapter 1 says, Jesus is the Word, we know that the actor in all three of these accounts was Jesus, our Savior himself, bringing forth life from death, transforming people's lives and hearts to follow him, saving them and rescuing them from sin, death, and the devil. That is God's glory. Therefore, Jesus is the glory of God. And here's the thing about this. Anytime, whether this is in the Old Testament or the New Testament or even in our lives today, we see that bit of heaven breaking through in our lives. Anytime we see the glory of God reaching into our midst, there's one thing that is always behind it. And that is the mission of God. Do you remember God's mission? We've talked about this before. What missio Dei? That's the Latin term. Do you remember? What is the mission of God? I'll start you off. That all people will come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and what? And be saved. You see, that's at the heart of God. That's his mission. That's his desire. That was his story right from the beginning as he created the world, knowing that things were going to happen, knowing that man would ultimately fall into sin. And right from the beginning, right in Genesis chapter 3, God reveals his plan of salvation to you and to me. And talking about the seed that would come from the woman that would crush Satan's head once and for all. This is God's glory. This is God's story. This is his mission. And as heaven breaks through into our lives, as heaven encounters us, as we live in this world, as Jesus and the richness of his gospel message encounters us where we are, it's all about God's mission to save us, to love us, to forgive us, to assure us that we will never be separated from him, to assure us that the gift of his eternal kingdom is our gift now and always. Because this is how God operates. It's always about God revealing the power of his love to us in our lives so that we know how much he cares for us. But wait a minute. We sure don't see things like this happening in our world today. We sure don't see things happening like this in our world today. This statement I hear from time to time from people. I hear it sometimes from Christians, and they'll say, well, what happened? Why doesn't God do miracles like that anymore? We don't see the dead raising up, and we don't hear all the time of people being miraculously healed. I made the mistake one time of seminary of asking that question, and the answer that I got, I just lived with because I thought, well, they're right. They said, well, miracles stopped when the apostles died. I didn't like that answer, but hey, they're theologians, and I'm just a student, so maybe they're right. Many times I'll hear unbelievers when I interact with them, and we'll talk about God's miracles, and they'll say, well, if your religion is so real, what happened to those wonderful accounts of God's story in the Bible? Where are his miracles today? Where is his glory today? We want to see it, but we don't see it. Where is God interacting? The reality is God's glory is truly all around us. Miracles, heaven breaks through into our lives all the time. The other reality is because we are sinful humans, because we're so caught up in our world and society today. I was just thinking this morning, people are so caught up in their Facebook that they can't even lift their eyes up to watch a concert before them because they're tweeting about it or Facebooking about it or recording it, and life passes them by. And so too does God's glory, and so too does his love, because we're entrenched in ourselves. That's the reality of our world today. We are so entrenched in ourselves, we're doing damage to ourselves because we miss God's interaction in our lives and in the world around us. So we don't see the miracles. We don't see the glory. After all, I've got things that are important that I need to do. But the reality is God's miracle, his interaction in history and in time and in our present has never changed. There are countless stories of people being healed. The difference is when these stories occur, the glory goes to God. It doesn't go to man. That's the way it's supposed to be. One of those stories happened at my last church about a year before I got to my last church. There was a man in the congregation who had a brain tumor and it was inoperable. So the elders got together with him every week and they laid hands on him and they anointed him with oil and they prayed and the brain tumor went away. One of the people that was an elder at that church at the time was a medical doctor. A medical doctor, a man of science. He said he couldn't explain it. It was God's glory being revealed. Now, some of you were here a couple months ago. It's been more than a couple months ago, New Year's Eve. That's been like 6 months ago now, right? And we had a healing service, a prayer service, and it was a very intimate service. And I've heard feedback from many of you on how much you loved that service, and I do hope to do that again. But that was a service that I developed in my first congregation, and we did that service once a month for the community. And if you weren't here, what happens is we do a little worship and stuff like that, you know? And then I come up to the altar, and anybody who wants to come up can come up with me over there or wherever I am, and then we sit, and I say, what do you want me to pray for you for? And then I'll lay hands on them, and we'll pray, and then I anoint them with oil, because that's what James says to do. And one time somebody says, well, why do we anoint with oil? And then my answer is, well, if God says to do it, we don't need to know why. I mean, who knows why, but God says to do it, so that's why we do it, right? And it's a really intimate time. It's a time of intimacy as Christians together. It's a time of intimacy with God. Well, anyways, I did that service once a month in my community. And I'll never forget, there was this lady who came every week. And this is God's story. I still can't believe this, but this is what God does. And so she had cancer. And again, it was a tumor in her liver, and it didn't look good, and they were worried that it was starting to spread. And so she came to this service every month for over a year. She came to this service, and we prayed over her. And sometimes her family would come up, and we all prayed over her. And time went on, and it was my last time doing the service because I had taken a call, and I was leaving. And she says, I need to talk to you after the service. I said, oh, okay. And so she grabs me as I'm going out the door, and she says, I wanted to share with you, my tumor's gone. It's gone. And we praised God. I mean, what else do you do in those moments, right? You praise God, and you thank him. So these miracles do happen. And as Stephanie pointed out in our children's message today, they happen in more ways too. Because we know as Lutherans who hold dear to the Apostles' Creed and what it means, that the first article we believe that God provides for us even in our world today, and one of the ways he provides for us that healing is through the gift of medicine. And it happens all the time. And we're so quick to say, well, those doctors did wonderful, and we forget who's behind that medicine. It's God himself. Or how often we'll sit at a funeral and we say, well, I prayed for him to be healed and he wasn't healed. But in reality, God answered the prayer. The person was healed eternally into the gifts of God's perfect kingdom of heaven. Another time that I recall a miracle happening and God's glory being revealed was from a dear pastor friend of mine. He served in Long Island, New York, and there was a tragic accident, and a three-year-old girl went into a coma from the accident. She was on life support, and the doctor said she wasn't going to make it. And so her organs were shutting down, life was shutting down, and we as Lutherans, when that happens, we say, you know, it's probably time to allow God to heal this person and take them into heaven, right? And so the family decided, well, we're going to take her off life support, and the doctor said it will happen soon when we take her off life support. So the pastor was there, gathered with the family around the bed, and they were holding hands. Now, get this, right? She hadn't said a word in over 2 months. She hadn't opened her eyes in over 2 months. True story. When they took her off life support and the pastor was leading a prayer and he prayed, Lord, let her go peacefully into your arms. She woke up, opened her eyes, she reached up to the sky and said, Jesus, and she died. That's a miracle. Heaven was breaking through at that moment to comfort those parents in knowing that Jesus was there to rescue and to save and to heal their daughter. You see, they happen all the time. We just don't grasp it. We don't see it because we get so caught up in everything else that's going on in our world and so worried that hard times are here and so worried that somebody's going to become president that we don't want to become president and all the other chaos in our lives. What happens to us is we lose the sight of God's glory in our world. But even greater miracles than these, even greater experience of God's glory, are breaking through in our lives every day. Now follow me for a moment on this, would you? Jesus says to his disciples and to you and to me, you think these things are great, what I've done? You will do even greater things. Now, I used to hear that and say, yeah, right. I can't do greater things than you. And then Jesus also says in the gospel several times when he performed miracles, and one time when he healed a young man and the Pharisees were gathered around and they were accusing him, he said, do you remember what he said? He said, what's easier for me to do? To say, get up, take your mat and walk? Or to say your sins are forgiven? What was Jesus communicating to us? You see, the reality is miracles happen every time we gather together, every time you worship God in your devotions and prayer, and this is where it happens. When we come into this place and we confess our sins and hear those powerful words of absolution, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? When we hear the gospel message, when we receive the sacrament of the Lord's table, when we see baptism in our midst, those, my friends, are moments of glory and miracles happening in our midst. Because Jesus says, even greater things you will do as my church. Anytime we proclaim the gospel message to ourselves or to others around us, the dead are being raised to life. Life is entering our hearts and our souls every time we encounter the message of the gospel. Jesus is wrapping his arms around us and loving us. Now think about that for a moment. What greater miracle is there in this world to conquer sin, death, and the devil? And that happens to you and to me every time God embraces us through the proclamation of his gospel, his word entering our lives, just as it did in our three accounts of the word today. And even greater, every time we celebrate the funeral, every time we gather in worship for one of our loved ones who have entered into the kingdom of heaven, God's glory is being revealed. A miracle happens because Jesus destroyed death. Death no longer holds us, but now death is the entrance into the eternal kingdom of God forever. It is a miracle when we gather together to celebrate eternal life and our victory through Jesus over sin, death, and the power of the devil. I firmly believe that God's glory is still alive and powerful, and miracles happen every day. Every time sins are forgiven, every time someone comes to faith, every time we eat of this meal, and every time we say, Christ is risen, God's glory is revealed in our world. God's glory is revealed in our world. And even greater yet, every time you love somebody, every time you share the gospel to someone, you are raising them from death to life. Every time you share the love of God, every time you tell someone of Jesus, you are raising them from death to life. God's glory is revealed in you. Heaven breaks into our world as God's people go forth proclaiming his messages. You are miracle workers because God has equipped you with his glory. May the power of the Holy Spirit remind us of that, so that as we leave this place and enter our lives this afternoon, and tomorrow, and the next day after that, we will shine the glory of Jesus. Truly, our prayer is the same as Scripture. May we decrease, Lord Jesus, that you may increase. In the name of Jesus, amen.